Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. And today what I wanted to talk to you guys about is the concept of periodization, and particularly linear periodization, which is what most people are used to, and basically why it is a fundamentally flawed concept and why it simply doesn't work in the real world. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that term, you know, periodization is basically the practice of splitting your training into different periods. And traditionally, you would work on like base training first, and then you know work on strength, and then power, and then you know like there would be very distinct phases where you were really concentrating on like you know one basic quality, you know, pretty much all of your workouts are focused on developing that one quality during that 4 to 6 week period. And so that is known as periodization, and that is the idea of trying to split your training up in different periods. And then the idea of linear periodization is where things basically move in a straight line, and basically you start out with a high volume, low intensity approach. And throughout the time period that you're training, the different phases eventually move you to a high-intensity, low-volume approach. So, for example, most mountain bikers would be most familiar with this in the terms of aerobic base training, which I'm pretty sure by now most people know my thoughts on that. But your basic linear periodization would have you start out with, you know, an aerobic base training phase. In the weight room, all of your stuff is you know, extremely high rep, you know, very low weight, very low intensity, extremely high volume, lots of training hours. And, you know, throughout, you know, over the next few periods, you would eventually get into where you're doing, you know, higher intensity intervals and you know, hopefully less of them, although that's, you know, not always the case. And, you know, in the weight room, you go from, you know, high reps and low weight to, you know, lower reps and higher weight and stuff like that. And so, again, that's the basic idea behind linear periodization is moving in a straight line from a high-volume, low-intensity approach to a high-intensity, low-volume approach. And the idea was that you were working towards a peak. And, you know, you're looking to peak, you know, at certain points during the season. And so this is what most people are familiar with when you talk about periodization. And I've had a lot of, you know, people ask me and, you know, riders, particularly cross-country and trail riders, wonder about more of a periodized approach to their training and peaking phases and stuff like that. And so basically my thoughts on this are pretty simple. I've gone that route. I've tried linear periodization myself. I've tried it with my clients, and it becomes quickly apparent when you actually try to use it that it doesn't work. And there's a couple reasons that it doesn't work. And you got to look at the history of it first. You know, at one point in time, and I hate to say it, but America has never been known for having the most, you know, cutting edge, you know, brilliant strength coaches. And you know, I guess I can tell you that back. Over the last few years, we've definitely been developing and having smarter guys step forward on the scene. But, you know, back in the, you know, the 30s, 40s, and 50s and stuff like that, training in America was just amazingly archaic. And so what was happening, though, is you had the Soviets and the East Germans, basically the you know, communist countries, who basically turned training into a science. They were pretty much the first people to break training down and turn it into a science. And so what, you know, and they were the first ones to develop the concept of periodization. And so what happened, though, was American coaches took that concept of periodization and basically created their own concept based on it. And unfortunately, they missed a couple things, and so they really kind of developed, like, you know, American linear periodization is really kind of a bastardization of the original periodization schemes developed by the Soviets and the East Germans and stuff like that. And so one of the main flaws that you're going to get from this, and there's two main flaws that I want to address. And the first one is that unless you are a professional athlete, and I don't mean that you're a pro. You know, mountain biking, unfortunately, and you guys know I love this sport more than anything else out there, but, you know, we throw around the term pro looser than any other sport I've ever come across. I mean, you know, there are so many pro, quote-unquote, pro riders out there that it's ridiculous. And so, you know, we throw that term around pretty loosely. When I talk about being a professional rider, what I'm talking about is where you make your living riding. You know, where you basically have nothing to do the rest of the day but ride and recover and worry about what you're doing to get better the next day. If you've got a part-time job or a full-time job or anything like that, then you are not a full-on professional rider. Now, these linear periodization schemes that the Soviets and the East Germans developed, they were developed for their professional athletes, which basically meant these athletes lived in, you know, I mean, if you're not familiar with the way that they developed athletes, I mean, they basically started from when they were kids, like evaluating potential athletes as a kid. And then, you know, they had a feeder system that they would put them into that would basically develop and identify the best of the best athletes. And then they, at the top level, would go into their, you know, their top system, where they basically lived in a complex of nothing but other athletes with their coaches. Like, their entire existence revolved around their training. And so it's so much easier for the coaches to basically control and manipulate every single variable that came along with training that athlete. Hours of sleep, what they were eating, you know, everything. Plus, you got to throw in the fact that they, you know, they obviously were developing, you know, using steroids and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you don't think the Americans were using them as well, you know, kind of crazy there. But anyways, the point is that as a casual athlete, you cannot look at what a true professional does and then try to apply that same concept to what you do. Sure, you can glean lessons, but again, if you're not able to, you know, if you don't have a private chef preparing all of your meals, if you don't have, you know, nothing else to do but train and recover, then you're not a professional athlete and you can't look at that. And so that's problem number one that's arisen from, you know, the linear periodization and basically periodization in general as used by the average mountain biker is, like I said, if you're not a true professional athlete, then those schemes are not going to be able to be applied by you as effectively. You have to take, you know, your personal circumstances into account. And so that's problem number one. You know, periodization and linear periodization in particular was developed for, you know, the athlete that was under the complete control of their trainer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the second problem with linear periodization kind of stems from that. But the reality is, you know, you have to learn how to deal with setbacks. You know, people are going to get sick. People are going to get injured. People are going to have things come up that are going to interfere with their training schedule. And so if you are going off of a linear periodization scheme, everything's pretty much got to work perfectly in order for it to end up where you want it to end up. I mean, what do you do if you ended up catching the flu and you ended up missing 2 weeks of training during one of your phases? How do you handle that? What do you do? You know, I mean, that affects everything from that point going on. And without knowing how to make adjustments to that, then it doesn't work. And so, again, you know, it's not a reality for most people to be able to use that type of periodization scheme. So, luckily for us, you know, we have different periodization schemes, things that you can do. And so what I actually use a lot of in my programs is, you know, kind of a form of what's known as conjugate periodization, where you are working on, you know, everything at the same time. And, you know, some people will say, well, that means you're never going to be able to fully develop anything. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, there's I've certainly seen from my own experience that's not the case. But another argument against that is, well, because it has been shown that after about 2 weeks of stopping working on a specific physical attribute, that it will start to decline. So if you spend 6 to 8 weeks developing a quote-unquote aerobic base, and then you get out of your aerobic base training phase and you move on to other things and you stop, you know, doing things to work on and maintain that base, well, by the time you get to the end, that quote-unquote base that you built, you haven't worked on maintaining it, and it's actually going to start decreasing. And so, you know, something that, you know, I've heard Alan Cosgrove say a couple times when discussing this topic is, if it was important enough to work on at one point, it should be important enough for you to continue to work on the whole time. And if it wasn't important enough for you to, you know, work on and maintain the whole time, then you have to question whether it was important to work on in the first place. And so, you know, that's just the way that the human body adapts to exercise and stuff like that. And so, again, the idea is that you're able to, you know, work on, again, you know, you're not trying to work on everything equally. You know, there's still certain things that you can emphasize more than others, but instead of having every single thing that you do, from your cardio workouts to your weight room workouts to your cross training, just focusing on one single physical attribute for 4 to 6 weeks, and then moving on and working on another physical attribute for 4 to 6 weeks, what you want to do is have all of them in your workout, be working on strength, be working on power, be working on, you know, short-term and long-term endurance relative to your sport. But again, the idea is what is the percentage? You know, how are you playing these factors against each other based on what you need and where you're at and stuff like that. And so that, you know, that's a better way to go about it. And this also helps us take into account setbacks and stuff like that. Again, it's very easy to make adjustments to a conjugated periodization scheme when you end up with some sort of setback. You know, if you miss a workout or, you know, a couple weeks of workouts because something come up or something like that, it's very easy to just kind of take a half step back and start where you were and continue to work into the program and not have it just completely, you know, get thrown out of whack. And so, anyways, I know it's kind of a little bit of a complicated concept, but again, the idea behind the linear periodization, you know, the problems with it was developed for true professional athletes. It was not developed for the average athlete. It is extremely hard to make adjustments on the fly when you're, because you basically have to sit down and plan out like 4 to 6 months worth of training in advance for it to, you know, for a true linear periodization scheme. And again, it's extremely hard for you to go in and make adjustments on the fly to that type of plan. And so, and again, it also allows for you to, you know, start to detrain in certain areas. Like when you stop working on certain components, then they will start to detrain. And so again, you know, if it's important enough for you to have to work on in the first place, it should be important enough for you to have to work on all the time. And so so that's basically it, you know, and that's why I don't really advocate a lot of linear periodization ideas, and I don't use it in my programs and stuff like that. So I think, you know, again, you have to understand the paradigm that you come at training with. And so if you've been brought up to believe that, you know, linear periodization is periodization, well, then of course you're going to be confused by my programs and how they're laid out. But once you understand that there's more than one periodization scheme and you understand what the drawbacks are and the benefits are to each, well, then you better understand how to apply what you need to your specific situation. And like I said, you know, for the vast majority of mountain bikers out there, especially your average rider, you know, I'd say probably 95% of people listening to this podcast right now fall into that category. You do not need some sort of overly complicated, you know, linear periodization scheme. You know, you need something more along the lines of either, you know, an alternating periodization scheme where, you know, you basically, you know, spend a month working on, you know, strength and, you know, long-term endurance, and then you spend a month working on power and short-term endurance and alternate back and forth like that. That's alternating periodization. Or, like I said, what I use is conjugate periodization, where, you know, pretty much every time you come in to train, we're going to work on, you know, on all of those attributes. It's just going to be which one's going to be emphasized and which ones are going to be more in a maintenance mode kind of a deal. And so that's kind of the idea there. And again, you know, just to touch on real quick, another idea that kind of comes along with this periodization concept is the idea of peaking. And again, this is another one of those ideas that if you're a professional athlete with a world championship or something like that that you're shooting for, then, you know, the concept of peaking may have some merit for you. But again, for your average rider who has to deal with, you know, job and family stress and setbacks and stuff like that, the whole idea of trying to peak is, again, extremely difficult to actually pull off in the real world and kind of impractical. And in my experience, and again, you know, this is, you know, shared by a lot of strength coaches smarter than I am, you know, when you're first starting out, you need a good, solid, like 2 to 3 years of continued structured training before you actually get to the point where you're advanced enough to need some sort of like peaking and maintenance program. You know, as Mike Boyle has put it, you know, before, I mean, what are we peaking and maintaining here? You know, your complete lack of hip mobility, your complete lack of, you know, upper body strength. I mean, what are we peaking and maintaining? So until you've had about 2 to 3 years of solid, continual, structured strength training and other, you know, strength and conditioning under your belt, then realistically, you just need to keep plugging away. You know, obviously making some adjustments to the volume and sets and reps and stuff like that, you know, to adjust for how much riding you're doing during the season. But again, you know, the idea of trying to peak and maintain nothing is silly at best. And so, you know, when I see these beginners, these people that, you know, are just getting into racing and they're looking for these, you know, really complicated, you know, periodization schemes complete with a peaking and maintenance phase and stuff like that, then it's like, what are you trying to maintain? And so, again, if you, you know, look at my Ultimate MTB workout program, I have what I call a peaking in-season phase. And to be honest with you, I use that term mainly because that's the terminology that most people are familiar with. It's not what you would consider to be a true, like, you know, peaking and maintenance phase that a professional athlete, someone who's got like 5 to 10 years of experience under their belt, would necessarily be using. It's designed realistically to allow you to continue to make gains during periods of higher, you know, riding volume. You know, when you're getting out and riding 2 to 3 days a week, well, you know, here's a workout that is a little more targeted, a little less volume, but it's still, you know, is going to produce gains throughout the season and stuff like that. And so, you know, realistically, that's what you want to do with your program. And so, again, you know, that's pretty much it. You just want to watch falling into the trap, you know, of thinking that what, you know, professional athletes, concepts that were designed for people that have nothing else to do with their life but train, they don't apply directly to your average mountain biker. And, you know, again, if you don't have a solid, I mean, extremely solid 2 to 3 years of continuous strength and conditioning training under your belt, then you really don't have anything to peak and maintain in the first place. So you just want to continue trying to build and continue to make gains throughout the season, you know, as best you can in relation to how much you're riding and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it, you know. You know, periodization, you need it, but the whole concept of linear periodization, the thing that most mountain bikers are familiar with, in my opinion, is, you know, a fundamentally flawed concept for us to be using, and so that's why I don't use it and I don't recommend it. And so definitely think there's better ways to go about it. But anyways, hope you guys have enjoyed this. A little more fuel for thought as always. It's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You guys got any questions or comments on that, pop on over to my blog at bikejames.com and, you know, post a comment. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I'll talk to you guys next time.